When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is how I fight my battles, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Liverpool just beat the Blades. Palace got a much-needed win, and Wolves are up and running. Welcome, one and all, to Marcus, Jim, Pete and Luke's lair.
Hello.
Yes.
On this podcast day, it's International Podcast Day.
Is it?
Finally, four white men can get their voices heard.
Is it International Podcast Day?
I think it is, yeah, the 30th, yeah.
Okay. But when is International Men's Podcast Day?
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Very good.
Well, have we got some topics for you, ladies and gentlemen?
Topics.
I tell you what, we had thank you very much, everybody, who came to the Alexandra Palace live show.
Oh yeah, and while you're there, there's still tickets available. Next up, Liverpool on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Still a handful of tickets for that. Day after that, Northampton. Mm-hmm. A handful of tickets left for that as well. And then we're off further afield after that. RambleLive.com. You will not regret it. Mm. Pete Donaldson dancing.
All sorts going on.
We have to promote the show, Marcus.
I know.
We have to tell people a reason to come.
That's a reason not to come.
People will not be dancing.
No.
Yeah, Pete will not even be there.
Pete, I'm only dancing.
He turns me on. There we go.
I took my top offer at Alexander Palace.
You did, something for
the ladies and the men.
Yeah. You were very upset, weren't you, at one point? And
somebody may or may not have got going for Glold in the first fucking clue. Well, and I was furious.
Well, if you pick someone born in that area, you do run that risk, don't you?
So lest this be forgot, RambleLove.com is where you get your tickets. And if you are a fan of Pete getting upset, as I think we all are here,
and getting his top off,
what's better than Pete getting upset? Pete getting upset on stage in front of lots of people. Mm. It just heightens it, doesn't it?
Can I get some credit for volleying my clipboard as hard?
That was a great volley. I think I might have damaged it.
I'm pleased that you didn't hit it out over the crowd.
Yeah, that might have been. Because a lot of them were very drunk.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience you shouldn't kick things into crowds.
Right, okay.
Jim once kicked, was it Katie Price's autobiography?
No, her ghostwritten novel.
Right.
Okay.
Did you hit someone?
Yes.
Oh,
woman in the face.
Jim.
Yeah. But that won't be happening at the live show. So do come along. I'm looking forward to Liverpool in particular because whenever you gig in Liverpool, it's wicked. So
cool.
Yeah,
that's this Thursday.
And Northampton.
And Northampton.
And Brighton on Sunday.
I don't know so much about Northampton.
Yeah. Brighton on Sunday, of course. Yeah,
you see lots of that. Well, you mentioned Liverpool there, Jim. They beat Sheffield United 1-0.
Mm.
Poor old Dean Henderson in goal for the Blades.
God, it was heartbreaking for him, wasn't it?
Oh. It was.
And then afterwards, his dad basically said he was a loser and a disgrace. So
it didn't really.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Chris Wilder.
He's not letting back in the house.
But. Yeah, Chris Wilder didn't beat around the bush. He said, if he wants to be a professional footballer, these things are going to happen. But if he wants to play for top teams, if he wants to play for Manchester United, if he wants to play for England, then he needs to do better. He needs to concentrate more. It's a disappointing day for him, but I'm not going to put my arms around him. Simply, he needs to do better.
You know what?
He did say a few other bits.
I'm calling that inside language.
Yeah. But I don't know. I have to say, I quite like that. And I quite like this about Chris Wilder, because I mean, he said that the game in general was a missed opportunity and compared it to when Norwich beat Man City. And that's absolutely right, because, you know, we've seen so many teams come up and the managers, after a display like that, say, oh, well, it was a great performance, I can't fault the lads, blah, blah, blah. And then what happens? Those teams get relegated. Mm. And Chris Wilder is not having that. And we've all been saying they've been playing really well and maybe not getting the results that they should have. But you can only keep saying that for so long before that becomes irrelevant and actually they're just not good enough.
But I think Dean Henderson, like, he saved a one-on-one against Salah, which if you were a betting man, you'd say he was going to put that in. So I think he played very well apart from that. And, like, everyone knows what he's done. He knows what he's done. Does he need his manager rinsing him in public?
Yeah, exactly. I remember doing a Ramble Mix with Matt Murray, and he said, look, in that case, particularly of the goalkeeper error that's so obvious, no one really needs to say anything.
No.
Yeah. He's not going to learn anything from you telling him.
Well, it was a bit like when Redknapp said, was it Darren Bent when Bent missed a great chance? He went, oh, Marsh Sandra could have put that in or something.
Absolutely no chance.
Yeah. Well, didn't he run over Sandra's foot once?
So well, Darren Bent? No wonder he was angry with him.
Yeah. Harry Redknapp ran over Sandra Redknapp's foot. She wasn't angry with him though.
No.
And that's why she's brilliant. That's why she's terrific.
But you know, you say Sheffield United maybe haven't been picking up results. I mean, they have. I mean, they're the best.
Well,
they carry on this. They're just the best.
They're the best. Around.
Better than all the rest.
Yeah. No, but the point I'm just making is that if they carry on the way they're going, they will more than likely stay up. I mean, they've got more than a point a game at the moment.
They're the best of the promoted side so far.
But what I mean is that even when they won the other week, Chris Wilder was saying, oh, it's weird because that's our worst performance yet. And even then, he's not relenting on that drive. And I think, you know, he understands that they are probably going to have to punch above their weight to stay in the Premier League, certainly in the first season up. And he's managing that so well.
And this might sound like a first hearing of a bit of a weird thing to say, but honestly, Chris Wilder's not just appeared as a manager. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time, and he might have only been demanding excellence in League Two at Northampton, or, you know, further up the football pyramid before he got to the Premier League. But he was still demanding excellence all the time. And last week we talked about how, for a lot of managers, and Pep Guardiola is one of these, the performance level and the consistency of the performance is the most important thing, because that if you get that right, the results will take care of themselves. I thought this game was a brilliant game. One of the most enjoyable games of the season, because Sheffield United just went up against them. And although they didn't have an awful lot of the ball, they got to a stage, even sort of an hour in, where Liverpool, I wouldn't say looked bereft of ideas, but they didn't have any time to think or do an awful lot, and they couldn't bypass Sheffield United very easily. And I firmly believe if that mistake hadn't happened, I think that would have been a 0-0. I think they would have come out of that with a draw.
Oh, Klopp said he would have no complaints if it was a draw.
And nor should he have had.
Virgil van Dijk was given man of the match, which shows you that Sheffield United made them work. And they did have a few chances. I understand there was a couple of difficult ones to take, and the one towards the end would have been given offside. I'm glad he put it over the bar, because VAR would have given that offside, and that would have been really annoying. but it was a great game, and poor old Henderson. But Liverpool, they still won the game.
They did.
And
they found a way.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it was fortuitous, blah, blah, blah. But it's their 16th straight league win, and that is not fortuitous. Perfect. Obviously, there's an element, little slices of luck here and there, but my goodness,
did you see Virgil van Dijk going around the Liverpool training ground giving each player their personalised copies of FIFA?
Oh, did he?
Oh, wow. A new FIFA game.
Is he on the front cover of it?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I've not looked at it. I've bought it, but I've not looked at the front cover.
No, why would you?
Yeah. The only cover I've seen is a mock-up with Mark Corrigan on it. So
nice, okay. It's just probably not him. But he went on the training ground, he's giving everyone his copies. He's like, I'm going to go and see the English lads now. And they go over, and Henderson's going, oh, look at me! Points. Everyone's annoyed with their points, because obviously every player has a rating, and everyone's annoyed apart from maybe Mo Salah, who's drinking a tiny little espresso he's getting a rub down.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow. Because he's the king around there.
Jadon Sancho kicked off on Twitter, didn't he?
Did he?
His passing stat was too low. And I think it was FIFA at the game, yeah, tried to make a joke of it on Twitter. I was saying, well, you know, who needs passing this high when you're dribbling and your pace is so fast? And he, I think he was still quite pissed off.
There was that time when Raheem Sterling and Daniel Sturridge, maybe on England duty a couple of years ago, were sort of looking at this. And Sturridge, I think his running stat was only about 76 or something. Mm. And Sterling, they gobsmacked. Absolutely gobsmacked. He's like, yeah, he's one of the quickest players in the league. Like, what?
I bet they do. I bet they do it just to get PR, though.
I think they're probably hamming it up
a bit. Yeah.
But sure it is. Yeah, it's quite. But,
Liverpool, isn't it? I don't have the stat in front of me, but I think given that they only lost one game in the league last season, I think it's one defeat in 40 odd games now, which is absolutely unreal.
Yeah. If I can bring it back to Chris Wilder to make an entirely facile point,
please.
I do really enjoy his dugout attire. Because it's not quite the same as the traditional sort of kind of track-suited manager. He almost looks like he's a sort of F1 pit man. I don't know what the term is.
I was saying this on my blog on the Discord this week, Jim, that it's a sort of it's more of an old school tracksuit approach.
Well, it's like a sort of tracksuit t-shirt.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was at Northampton for a while, and he did what he did. Northampton were amazing under him. That was the season I'm thinking of when Portsmouth were also in League Two, and Northampton smashed the league. It wasn't anywhere near close. They were brilliant. Of course, he eventually rocks up at Sheffield United and does this. I think he started managing at a very, very low level. I think I'm fairly certain he was. I haven't got it in front of me either, but he was not either non-league or right down there Saturday football, that kind of thing. So he almost has got a bit of that about him still now. Yeah. Like, nothing seems to faze him. He looks. He's got the air of a guy that the match is kind of a bit of an inconvenience when he's on his way somewhere else.
He's a wonderful. He looks like your traditional English manager.
Yeah, and we even described himself when he was saying that they should, you know, that 2-0 win over, was it Everton, was their worst performance of the season. He said, oh, maybe it's the gruff Yorkshireman in me. But it's like, well into that gruff Yorkshireman in you, frankly. Yeah.
But he has that sort of old school vibe in which we talk about some of those managers, especially managing in the Premier League. It's kind of like the football is now moving on and perhaps there's not a place for some of them. And you can easily think he's one of them, but he just isn't. You know, you look at his tactics at all, he's very forward thinking, as much has been made of that.
I'll just check here. He started out at Alfreton Town, the Northern Counties East League Premier Division.
Yeah, but how good are they, though, in that league?
Yeah. Well, listen.
They're cleaning up every season.
How many of those skills are transferable into almost getting a result against Liverpool? But as you rightly said, Marcus, they didn't get a result. They were beaten. So
sadly,
they've got to lick their wounds and go again.
Indeed, they do. Crystal Palace beat Norwich City 2-0. A very welcome win for Crystal Palace, considering how disappointed they were to drop 2 points at home to Wolves the previous week. But they look dominant. I mean, Palace, again, I'd be very surprised if there'll be in a relegation scrap this season. Wilfred Zaha seems to have kind of got over all that transfer business, which understandably could hang around for a bit.
Gary Cahill as well, what a smart addition that's been. They are absolutely stacked at the back. Mm. They've got so many options.
I mean, the backstackers.
They are the backstackers, the stacked back.
Backstacking!
And when Milivojevic penalty is a lovely thing, isn't it?
It really is.
It just strokes the ball into the top corner.
You imagine he's got a little sort of sniper sight in his vision.
Yeah. And of course, Andros Townsend over his account for the Premier League season.
Wow, Andros Townsend fans, rejoice.
Off the mark.
Fairly certain you go to betway.com and you can still have a little look at Andros Townsend. They get more, five or more, or over five goals a season, something like that.
I think we're going to six or more.
Six or more, that's right.
Last season was five or more.
I've been quite impressed.
BeAndrosAware.org.
Yeah.
Look at his form from last season. Yeah.
I'm quite impressed with Crystal Palace. There's a couple of things. Obviously, the Spurs game, they were outclassed.
Yeah.
And that can happen away from home at Spurs. And they let themselves down towards the end of the Wolves game.
They didn't win that game.
Exactly. Other than that, I mean, they've been great. And obviously, they won at Old Trafford. They're in pretty good shape.
I think they are.
They've gone under the radar a bit, haven't they?
I think you're right. And dare I even suggest they should... I said this about Burnley a couple of times, but Palace, like, if they finish 10th, maybe even 9th or something this season, you think to yourself, that's maybe achievable. And that is a big achievement for a side like Palace.
Absolutely.
On the Norwich side of the coin as well, I wonder, it's probably a bit premature to say this, but I think it's just kind of a word of warning, chiefly because I think Norwich play Aston Villa at home next.
Mm.
You don't want to be that kind of team if you're Norwich, where you can get up for Man City coming to town, but you can't get up for Burnley, Crystal Palace, West Ham, and then Aston Villa and Bournemouth are the next two games they play, because they've lost against West Ham, they've lost against Burnley, they've lost against Crystal Palace. Now, fairly comfortably each
They've
time.
They've lost 5 out of 7.
Yeah, you can't be dining out on that Man City win for weeks and weeks, and before you know it, you've not picked up another point since. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the Crystal Palace game and it's in full, but it looked fairly routine.
But Norwich didn't threaten. I mean, they're 17th with 6 points. And you can forget, you think to yourself, well, the Man City game, they'll probably get about 9 points for that. But no, they're down there. And they've only had 2 wins, at home to Newcastle and at home to Manchester City, of course. Only Watford have conceded more goals than them, and they're having an absolute mare. Mm. I mean, they did have a little bit more possession than Palace on the day, but didn't threaten that much. And as you say, Luke, that Man City result, you don't want it to become more of a curse than a blessing. Mm. And I tell you what, I don't know if it's just the way things are, but Daniel Farke seemed a little sheepish after the game.
Mm. Yeah, he did.
I think that's just his voice.
Ah. Yeah.
But how were they on the topics, Marcus?
Well, they weren't very good.
No, they were terrible on the topics.
Very bad, terrible.
I feel like this is a thing that happens every season, isn't it? Well, not necessarily every season, but you see it fairly often when a team that has blitzed the championship and been the best team in it and you know, played the most attacking and expansive football, they come up to the Premier League, and if you stick to your guns, which I suppose you should do, because you know, trying to completely overhaul the way you play is also a recipe for disaster, sometimes you are just going to get beaten by sides that are cannier and more experienced, and you go from being the best team in the league to not really being sure of where you stand in the pecking order. And I think Norwich are taking a little bit of time to settle, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they started fairly well and we all thought, okay, they're going to sort of carry it over as Bournemouth did, and we've seen Swansea did in the past as well. You get those teams that manage to do it. But now it seems to be like they've got to figure out what their identity is almost as a Premier League team.
And also I think there is a case to be said for those teams down the bottom of the league that will be probably, you know, just about escaping relegation, certainly in Norwich's case, I think, in my opinion. There is the big telly matches that seem to really excite these footballers who are trying to find their place in the Premier League, you know, possibly seeing certain clubs as stepping stones and stuff like that. And you do see, teams like Newcastle are a really, really good example of they'll play really well against Spurs.
On the telly?
They're on the telly constantly.
They got beat 5-0.
Well, exactly. All right, well, on the telly playing a big side.
Dig at Leicester. Third in the league.
Oh, dear.
Are you specifically referring to Moussa Sissoko?
Yes, that's exactly
who, by the way,
got his big move.
Hashtag the GOAT. Just on a new contract, Spurs. Yeah. So
the trouble is, he is an example for those who want to get a bigger
but
move.
I think what we're all saying here in a variety of different ways is Norwich need to be good at the bread and butter stuff, like Crystal Palace and like Aston Villa that they play next. Mm. They can't go the whole season only being good at the Man City topic.
Exactly.
They need to be good at other topics as well.
They need to be better at other topics. You're absolutely right, Luke. So they've got to watch themselves. Wolves beat Watford, which seemed like a straightforward result, of course, on paper.
Can you think of a team that couldn't beat Watford?
Yes, I can. Even with a 2-goal head start, I can profoundly think of one.
Well, it's Wolves' first league.
Apologies to both Newcastle and Arsenal, representatives of which are both in the room.
Yeah.
I can't think of another team. Yeah, I think Pompey. Actually, that's silly.
I think Watford are officially shit now, are they?
Yeah.
Like they look so disjointed. It's really weird.
Really struggling. And as you say, Jimmy, apart from that second half comeback against Arsenal, they've had very little to shout about this season. And the new manager bounce lasted for 45 good minutes. But against Man City, my goodness. And you know, Flores said that the morale of the players dipped after the first goal. And that's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign. Mm. Obviously, that you know, Man City, the 8-0 was only the other week. But they you can't do that. And they did create a few opportunities. You know, Welbeck had an effort, which was to keep us safe. So there was a few little positives.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're going to have to get going very soon, because if you're that team and you see it, you often get it, not always, but you often get a team where you go, oh, hang on, they're struggling. They'll be in the relegation. And if you're 6 or 7 games in and a team is already thinking, oh, crap, we're in a relegation fight, players don't want that, especially players who finished well last season. They're in a cup final and all that kind of stuff.
But what do you think? Because I feel that Watford have psychologically in a really bad way, particularly going into that league game against Man City after what happened in the cup and getting turned over like that. They don't seem to play with any tempo or any intensity or any kind of application. But what I mean, is it a case that Kike Sanchez Flores after the 8-0 has to say, okay, this is one of the finest teams on the planet, this can happen to anyone, we just need to accept it? Or should he really be saying, do you know what, if you apply yourself, play to your ability? This is not a poor group of players on paper.
No, it's not.
You apply yourselves, I'll accept you getting beat 2 or possibly even 3-0 because they're a better team. But 8-0 shouldn't really happen. Mm. You'll see you'll see lower league teams play strong Premier League teams in the Cup this season and not get beat anywhere near as badly as that. No. And so you wonder if they need to have a complete reset and complete, because psychologically they look all over the place. They don't even look like they're implementing what's being presumably being coached to them throughout the week because they don't have any intensity or any tempo. And it's hugely worrying. You've got to understand, I think, yeah, that they're in crisis now already. It's only seven or eight games in, whatever it is. They're in crisis.
Well, I thought that the Brighton, the home loss 3-0 on the first day of the season was an anomaly. Yeah. And I think well,
that Brighton, made Brighton look very good.
I was going to say, Brighton scoring three goals is a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Brighton.
No, disrespect them. All right. Them.
Those
fuck them.
Dirty little slugs.
Seagulls. Yeah. Shitting everywhere.
Sea slugs.
Yeah.
What are you? I mean, they
eating
don't.
Eating all your chips.
they don't often score three goals in a game, but most Premier League sides don't, that are not in the top sort of seven or eight anyway. But they beat Watford 3-0 on the first day, and I thought, nah, you know what? Watford had a few chances. That's a bit of an anomaly. Doesn't look like an anomaly now.
No,
and that's worrying. So straight from the off, Watford have been poor. Now, I don't know if Gracia, it's been too relaxed. I don't quite know what's gone on there over pre-season, but it's largely the same group of players that finish very respectively.
And they had a couple of decent cross players as well. Welbeck's a good squad player for the Premier League, and Ismail Sarr is very, very highly rated.
Right, and they got to the cup final, which is a hell of an achievement. For
But forget it now.
But that's what I'm saying. So you have largely that squad and the same manager. It's been so bad, and Flores has come in, and they haven't really had that new manager bounce. As I said, but when you see that second half against Arsenal, hang on a minute, there is something there. They can play a bit.
I think, without meaning to sound too self-deprecating, Arsenal can do that, though.
They can.
They can shoot themselves in the foot so much Watford, that it makes the other team look better
than
they are.
But Watford still did it.
True.
And thumped by Man City. Now you think, okay, you've had the hangover of the result against Wolves. And Wolves hasn't been brilliant, but Wolves is a difficult place to go. Now in the coming weeks, we'll see what Watford are really made of. And if Watford have not won in the next two or three, maybe three, we'll say, be a bit generous, then you've got to think to yourself, what do the board do? Because Flores is clearly...
And he comes with a reputation as a coach who can set a team up defensively as well by the way. Yeah. And you say the next three games, Marcus, home to Sheffield United next.
Yep.
They play with them on real intensity and they'll be looking to bounce back. They've got Spurs away after that.
Yep.
And then they're at home to Bournemouth.
But there are two games. I mean, look.
They've got to be targeting two to win there.
Bloody exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe the squad is just a bit tired? It's the same group of players.
Oh, dry your eyes.
No, I don't mean in terms of physicality. I mean in terms of that they've
it's been a
similar squad for a long time, and actually it's just
this
grown
squad's
a little
been
bit
together for 12
stale.
Years.
Yeah,
exactly. We're still doing it.
Really?
Are we doing it still?
Are we not tired?
We're very tired.
It's Monday morning. We'll be wide awake for the Epstein Theatre on Thursday night in Liverpool, though. Don't you worry about that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily.
Yeah, don't forget ramblelive.com to get your tickets. They are selling fast. I think there's about 7 or 8 tickets left in total for Shepherd's Bush Empire now. So that's your last chance to come see us in London. There are just a handful, I think, for the first New York City date. The others are selling fast. So ramblelive.com to find a show near you. Come see us. All sorts happening. Lots of fun and games. It was a hilarious, uproarious time on Thursday and Saturday. Thank you to everyone that came out.
Yep.
Do move now to get your tickets because they won't be there forever. And we will not be touring forever, let me tell you that, based on how tired we are this morning. Betway 4to-score update. Of course, you go to betway.com/4to-score to get involved. We pick the first goal scorer in 4 games selected by Betway. And we had a terrible weekend. We've had sort of up and down mixed weekends before, but this weekend, Jim, you had Bournemouth v West Ham. You went for Callum Wilson. He did score, but of course, Yarmolenko got there first. Yarmolenko's done 2 first goal scoring returns now in the last 2 weeks. That's one to think about for weeks to come. Pete, you had Andre Gray in Wolves v Watford. That was incorrect as well because Watford are the worst team on the planet. I had Jamie Vardy, Leicester v Newcastle. Incorrect. He got 2, but Pereira got there first. And Marcus had Kevin De Bruyne in Everton Man City. Incorrect. He had a lovely assist, but he didn't score. So 0.02% of players had both Yarmolenko and Doherty from the 3PMs, but none of them had Gabriel Jesus. So it rolls over. It'll be 125,000 this weekend. Free to play. Betway.com/4to-score and do bet responsibly.
It's a lot of pounds, that. It's a lot of pounds.
It is. I like the little stats that you give us. 0.02%.
It's really... What happens is I think a lot of people, quite literally, Rude, play the percentages and go for the most likely scorers in each game.
And it never happens.
And if one comes up, one just piles in, the amount of people drop out of the race is unbelievable. So if you can get, like Jim did last week when he had no goal scorer for Newcastle Brighton, I don't think many people had that at all, because people instinctively pick a goal scorer of some description. Anyway, we'll play another one this weekend.
Lovely. It's now time for emails with PED.
This may have cost me in the region of £200, but I'll be damned if it isn't the greatest email jingle known to man. If you'd like to get in touch and get your email read out, just email show at footballrambledaily.com to get Pete reading it out. Well done.
That's my favourite song.
What a gig. Play it again.
A little bit indulgent. Hello, Tim Skinner here, there, Football Ramble. After Luke mentioned the number of Friedmans playing in the League Cup on the previous show, I thought about the Bournemouth versus Man City Premier League match last month with the Portuguese Bernardo Silva, Spaniard David Silva, Englishman Callum Wilson and Welshman Harry Wilson all on the switch at the same time. Could that be the first time where each team has fielded 2 players with the same surname, none of whom are related or even from the same country?
Ooh. Yeah, that's interesting. People could get in touch and tell us if that's ever been done before.
I don't even know how you'd bloody search for that algorithmically.
Because there's also, I mean, if you think what could have happened there, don't Bournemouth have 2 cooks as well? Lewis Cook and Simon Cook.
Right. Yeah.
So they could have played both of them. They could have played, they could have played them, but too many of them would have spoiled the game. And Fraser is also, and they've also got a Daniels, both 2 quite common names.
Adam Smith has played as well, because I think Silva might be the Portuguese equivalent of the name Smith. I know that the equivalent of the name of the word name/word Smith is the most common name in a lot of different countries.
Right, okay.
It's Steve Cook, not Simon Cook. I don't know why I said Simon Cook.
Apparently it sounds a lot like Stiff Cock in Dutch slang as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
Dutch people think Steve Cook's name is funny.
Well, Brian Penish sounds like Brian Penis.
It does.
Don't forget, Martin Yol's got a brother called Cock as well.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Cock Yol. I mean, come on.
Come on.
And it was Cock Yol.
Yes. Who's it? It's Cock, y'all.
Hello, Jim.
Hello to the wonderful Jamie Whale. Ollie Watkins got a hat-trick for Brentford today at Barnsley, all with his head Impressive for a player that is not a giant. Can the Ramblers recall any other hat tricks of headers? I can't think of one.
Thomas Shiravi, 1990 World Cup for Czechoslovakia, and they were called Czechoslovakia then.
Yeah, Jenner was Thomas Shiravi, yeah.
Oh, there was a hat trick of headers fairly recently.
Oh, Rondon.
That's right, yeah.
Ah. Hmm.
Just Rondon.
Remember him, PT?
Ollie Watkins is a really good player. He's a really good player. I imagine he'll be in the Premier League at some point.
Hello to Josh Mason. I was going to mention this a little later on, but Josh has written this email so nicely. I thought I'd stick it in here. I meant to send an email last week, but I forgot. And turns out these things are meant to happen. Yeovil player scores goal this weekend, breaks nose, goes in goal, and keeps a clean sheet. Next week, playing top of the league undefeated Bromley. Bromley outfield player goes in goal in second minute. Yeovil take lead. Ball boys continue to time waste, and they all get red cards.
I heard about
them. The referee sent off all of the ball boys because they were just being shithouses.
So the players just getting them themselves then?
Yeah. Like,
Running
would
out of the crowd.
Like,
I was
going to
say, that's unproductive, isn't it?
Yeah,
counterproductive.
So you're just shuffling the time wasting along.
Yeah. I'm not happy with the time wasting, so I'm going to create a situation which almost lends itself to loads more time wasting.
But if you check out Yeovil going 1-0 up from Luke Wilkinson, who then subsequently broke his nose and then played in goal and saves in the 90th minute, header that in a rather un-goalkeepery way kind of claws it out. I think it comes off his broken nose and then kind of gets it out, and they won the match. Worth checking that one out. And of course the ball boy situation, I don't think that's been caught on camera.
The two reasons why I love an outfield player going in goal, and you've touched on one of them there, but I think one of these two reasons gets understated quite a lot. One is that, of course, there's a chance for a outfield player to humiliate themselves, and I take no pride in saying that, but we all agree. Secondly is it shows you how good goalkeepers are. Because even when those goalkeepers that go in goal, the outfield players make saves, it looks mad. It looks nowhere near like textbook.
You watch a lot of, like, I don't know, football compilations from the 90s, like Ian Wright, like lobbing people. People get lobbed left, right and centre. Peter Schmeichel spent a lot of his time just kind of doing that kind of fall over slow bit. Because he was just constantly getting lobbed. He just wanted to get involved all the time. And he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league.
He wasn't constantly getting lobbed. You've just watched the same goal
over and over again.
Philippe Albert.
Not that one, But keepers would ritually get people, you kind of sneak in the top right.
I think Pete's onto something here. As much as it pains me to say it, occasionally a blind squirrel.
Should we just end the podcast now?
A blind squirrel does find a nut sometimes. I think goalkeeping's got a lot better.
Hugely.
Back in the day, I mean, it might well be just because you only see clips of goals over and over again, so you have a terrible. Because you don't really see any compilations of the best saves relative to the best goals.
No.
I think goalkeeping's got so much better.
We say that outfield players have got better. There's a pace and there's some skill.
So it makes sense.
Why wouldn't the goalkeepers improve as well?
But also, like, goalkeepers are, they do a save on the ground and then they're up within half a second. Old, you know, Nev Southall. He'd jump up in the air and catch the ball, which never happens because you just can't get away with it nowadays. Yeah. You've got to palm it. He'd make one save and go, he just smashed it in the back of the net.
I think that's probably why Neville Southall learned how to catch the ball a lot, because he thought, well, I'm not getting up for the second one.
Exactly.
Get myself on those video compilations.
Yeah, true. Goalkeeper training is brutal. If you see
it's horrible.
When they're jumping around.
Makes my knees hurt.
Very, very underappreciated.
Schmeichel was the first goalkeeper that I remember where, in a one on one situation, you'd think he's probably going to save this. He's probably going to save
it. Why knew Henderson would save that one from Salah?
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know about the other one, did you? No one's thinking about that one today.
Wasn't there that one-on-one between Ian Wright and Peter Schmeichel where the ball burst?
That's right. Yes. It was a bit 50-50.
They hated each other, didn't they?
Yeah. On the pitch, I don't think Ian Wright ever scored against
I think that might be right. Mm.
They're pals now, though.
Yeah.
Of course they are. Is that the end of the
email? That's the end of the email section. If you want to get involved, listen to the jingle 5 minutes ago.
show@footballrambledaily.com, Pete. And I'll do it right.
Will you do it right? Do you want me to play?
It's the show at footballrambledaily.com.
the@thethethethe.com.
Aston Villa drew 2-2 with Burnley. Entertaining match at Villa Park. Aston Villa 18th with 5 points, only one win in seven. They've squandered a few leads this season already, and this was no exception, Jim.
No, I'm fairly convinced that John McGinn is a literal ghost, though. He just seems to appear from nowhere to just, like, pop it into the net. Perhaps that's more to, you know, says more about Arsenal's defence and Burnley's defence on the day. But he's in great form, isn't he?
He is,
absolutely It's brilliant. There's talk of Man United are interested in him.
But he plays himself into good form because he's just everywhere. He works bloody hard.
But don't you say, it's funny you say Man United are interested in him. But
rumours.
Has it got to the point now where whoever doing this at Man United just scroll to the top of the some kind of Premier League stats and go, right, him, we'll get him.
Or Ed Woodward's doing that. Going, he scored. Get him.
I'm interested in James McGinn.
Are Man United allowed to play like a fantasy league wild card?
Yeah, it sounds
like they're allowed to replace their whole squad.
They have done
notices.
Every season.
Manchester United are being linked with Ibrahimovic again.
I mean, are they really?
Yes. I mean, but again, they're probably not. But
who's doing the linking, Marcus? Exactly. He's got a glint in his eye, Marcus. There, he knows that's going to go out there.
Me, no. or Boca Juniors, Ibrahimovic apparently.
I'd love a bit of that.
Yeah. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That'd be very good. But yes. Aston Villa though they're struggling a little bit, and they are those kind of results they need to turn them into win. I mean, they were how they didn't get at least a point against Arsenal. I mean, Dean Smith was furious. They're having a lot of games where they're losing by the odd goal.
Yes,
and again, a bit similar to what we said about Watford. If that doesn't change soon, and you can be fooled by Villa because you see Villa Park again. It was such a staple of the Premier League for so long. You see the kits and you recognisable players, blah blah blah, and you think, yeah, but the points aren't there to back it up.
Absolutely, and you know that's the. This is the malaise they have to get themselves out of, isn't it? And actually stop looking at their kind of standing in the game, I suppose, and get a bit more fight out there, I think. It must have been so frustrating, the Arsenal game in particular, and again, this one. But, I mean, obviously, Burnley are a nightmare.
For this sort absolutely.
Of thing. They're the last team you want to put. They're high on the list of last teams that everyone wants to play, and that's huge
also,
credit to them.
It's a huge difference between dominating the ball as they did against Burnley, the lion's share of possession.
Burnley don't care about that.
No, they don't. But I think in the Championship, against most teams in the Championship, you dominate the ball to that extent, at some point you're going to get an opening, you're probably going to get an opportunity, and it's up to you to take it. Against Burnley, to be fair, Aston Villa did have opportunities. I think they hit the woodwork as well as scoring a couple of goals, of course. Mm. But Burnley are perfectly comfortable. They don't care about that. They'll keep their shape. We know what to expect from Burnley. Mm-hmm. And they'll happily grind out away wins till the cows come home against anyone. Mm-hmm. And so it's perhaps a little bit of a different challenge. As we mentioned earlier in the context of Norwich, those two teams play each other next week. It's at Carrow Road. That's huge. Yes. And what's also huge is Villa play Brighton at home after that, and then they go to Man City. So, and they've got a derby after that, I think. So they need to turn a draw or a defeat into a draw or a win and pick up more points for sure, for sure.
I tell you what, that El Ghazi finish.
Oh, it was a beauty.
Absolutely delightful.
Yeah, wonderful.
Great off the laces.
On, great shape on it.
Oh, gorgeous goal. Yeah. And nice to see Jay Rodriguez score. I think it's his first league goal for Burnley since re-signing for them.
We should only be using super slow-mo for that kind of goal, not for VAR.
I agree with that. I thought, did it hit his shin? I was like, oh no, that was all laces.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful stuff.
And Joe Rodriguez scored, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, to the Championship, to Rodriguez's old side, West Brom. They beat QPR 2-0. Slaven Bilic's boys have started the season superbly. Mm. They're top of the league on 19 points and unbeaten. Is Bilic going to force his way back into the Prem?
Top of the pops.
We'd like to see Bilic back, wouldn't we?
He was good at West Ham for quite a long time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
And obviously I'd love to see him back in there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'd love to see him sort of, you know, prove that he belongs there as well. You know,
well, he looks like a sort of long in the tooth, quite haunted detective.
Yes.
So you definitely want him back in the Prem, just skulking around, looking at with a styrofoam cup of coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'd love to see what Arjen Desai looks like now, because he is literally a homicide detective in Amsterdam, isn't he?
That's right.
And he has been for a while now.
Yeah, I think Bilic, I know obviously he was a pundit during the World Cup. For me, it was, it wasn't that long ago, of course, in between jobs, relatively speaking. But I think Bilic is done with management. Do you know what I mean? Is he out the game? I wasn't out of the game that long, so I don't know why.
Football does exist outside the Premier League, actually, mate.
Well, clearly, Bilic is putting it back on the map, Jim.
But he's joined this club and plays like Nathan Ferguson. He's sort of just taken a couple of... I think it took like two training sessions. He sort of said, look, he's my man. He's keeping Gibbs out the side, you know what I mean? Like, and weirdly, like, Gibbs is like his... he's Gibbs's protege at the moment. Like, they're best friends and stuff. And so, like, but he is keeping Gibbs out the side.
But you imagine Bilic, though... On his day, he could be a great man manager.
If he, you know, if he takes a shine to you, or takes a special interest in you, I think that'd be quite inspiring, actually, wouldn't he? He's got that sort of big character, and it's not just about what he's what he's achieved in the game. It's about the type of character that he is. I think if I was in a room with Slaven Bilic, I would really want him to like me. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, he definitely grabs people and brings them along with him, for sure. I think, you know, in the context of the result as well, West Brom, it's a good away when QPR have been in good form. They won 4 or 5 games in a row before that. And they were still in the game. I think very late on it was 1-0 to West Brom, and then QPR eventually had a man sent off, and then they added the second goal shortly afterwards. It's a great result for them because QPR have been in excellent form. And the other bit, I actually watched the game on Friday night, which was the Stoke Nottingham Forest game. Yeah. I know we probably, Stoke City fans, will be in that position listening to this show where
they're bottom
thinking,
with 2 points from 9 games.
I was going to say they'll be thinking they always ignore us, but at the moment they're quite happy with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they went a goal ahead against Nottingham Forest, and Nathan Jones on the touchline was going mad, absolutely mad. He was so happy. They actually looked okay, and then they just kind of mentally and physically like disintegrated. Jack Butland made another absolutely terrible error.
His form's dropped off.
I'm getting to the point now where I wonder whether he needs to take some time out of the first team, because I mean, it's just getting worse and worse for him. Almost, I don't see him as close to as maybe some people do, but every time I see him, he just looks a shadow of the keeper he was before.
It's so difficult for keepers when the confidence goes.
Yeah.
It's not like a striker who, all right, I'll stick you on the bench and you get the last 15 and blah, blah, blah. The goalkeeper, if you're taken out the side, it's all, he's being punished.
Yeah, absolutely.
The spotlight is on a keeper in a different kind of
way.
But
I think that's right. But it's contextual, right? So I think if you have Henderson for Sheffield United, you definitely play him next game.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think he's a good goalkeeper, he's made a mistake, that's it, fine, moves on. I think if you get to the point now where I think Jack's played 7 or 8 of the 9 championship games and they're bottom of the table, they've conceded more goals than anyone else, he's been at fault for at least some of them, you've got to take him on the firing line. You've got to think to yourself, give him 8 to 10 games off to refine his form, build his confidence up again, because his confidence isn't going to get any lower now. It's not like he's made one mistake and you've bin him off. That doesn't help a goalkeeper, obviously, but in this case, I mean, it essentially killed the game for Stoke, because you could see, it's sad to say, and he seems like a lovely fellow, and on his day he's a brilliant keeper, but you could see the defenders looking around just like,
it's the last thing you need when you're battling away. The goalkeeping error, it demoralises everybody. Oddly, Nathan Jones, though, he's obviously under huge pressure, but he said recently, "I like the pressure. I enjoy the pressure. It's why I do the job. Otherwise, I'd go back to Wales and live happily ever after and see all my mates. But that's not the life I want." He seems like a lovely
Stoked around about 5 miles.
But yeah, you talk about 2 points and from 9 games. Yep. I mean, the more damning stat, I think, since Nathan Jones has been there, 4 wins in 32 games. And he is a guy who came with a big reputation. He did brilliantly at Luton, and then obviously Mick Harford came in and finished the job for Luton. But he was in demand, hotly sought after.
Well, you might think it was the wrong job to take then.
I think it's more to do with the club than the man.
Well, that's it.
That'd be my take on it.
Absolutely, Luke Moore. Absolutely. Let's go to League One. We've been a little bit mean to Ipswich Town. We haven't been mean. We've reported the facts.
Yeah. tickets still available for Ramble Live in Norwich.
Yeah. We were going to do Ipswich, but we thought Sodom. Absolutely. Ipswich Town are kicking arse, though, in League One. They are booting all the arses. They're top of the league with 24 points, unbeaten.
Top of the pops.
They've only conceded 5 goals in 10 matches. Easily the best defence in the league, and it seems like Paul Lambert is finally having a lovely time.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because obviously Ipswich had such a terrible time in the Championship, and I mean, it might never feel like it at the time, but also almost like a relegation can be a useful sort of reset button for teams sometimes.
If things just
haven't been working out and you need to just change a culture at a club perhaps fairly quickly, then it can sort of work out.
I agree with you. I remember years ago, I think it was Leeds that went down to League One. And a friend of the show said that, I remember going, "Oh, bloody hell, it's so bad for Leeds. You know, that is shocking." And he just went, "Oh, they'll have a lovely time down there. They'll realise how big a club they are." And they'll win every week and they'll get straight back up. And of course they did. Now, that's easier said than done. Because if you do go down there and then you start struggling,
obviously it depends on the financial situation of the clubs.
But if all being well, and you are a big club and you shouldn't be in that league, you should bounce straight back out of it.
But I think sadly, I'm the one in the room with the experience of this as a Portsmouth fan. It can be more complicated than that, because you find...
Jim did talk about finances then.
I don't think it is necessarily even to do with that. I think it's to do with the fact that particularly in your home games, and you rely on your home form a lot, particularly in the lower leagues because you play a lot more games, every game. I remember going to Portsmouth when they're in League Two. Every time I go there, the team, it felt like the other team wouldn't have any ambition. They were just trying to stop you, because for them, getting a draw at Fratton Park in League Two was a massive result, and it was very hard. It must have become a completely different challenge. And Ipswich at League One level might find that, but obviously they haven't so far. And also the football universe has been completely upset because James Norwood, who was the big signing for Ipswich from Tranmere, Ipswich beat Tranmere 4-1 at the weekend. James Norwood played, didn't score against his old team in the Football League. Mickey Mellon's Tranmere.
Mickey Mellon.
I like the idea of the football universe.
Yeah, it is a football universe.
Like the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Well,
get those infinity balls.
On those lines, I mean, what about struggling Southend? They're 5 points from safety already.
That's what happens if you hire Kevin Bond.
Well, yes. He didn't stay around long, did he?
No.
He's off delivering Harry's jam roly-polies around the country.
I think they're 21st in the league, Southend. Henrik Larsson was in the stands. He's being touted as the next Southend manager.
I fear for this because Gary Waldegger's caretaker manager. They're going to hire someone permanently. You'd have thought. Is there anything about Southend United with respect to them that's going to be relatable to Henrik Larsson in the career he's had?
No, is the answer.
Exactly.
It's a nice part of the UK.
What do you think?
Is it?
Do you think Henrik Larsson should wait for the Man United job?
Well, I'll tell you what,
just come in on a short term loan
and get the permanent contract now, so
United continue to burn through their legend's reputation.
I don't know if he'd be a legend, but I take the point.
Well, you know,
it would be quite funny if Solskjaer went and Larsson turned up. Okay, I'll just caretaker role. Look, you've just won us the league.
Yeah.
Would you like the permanent contract? Get that away
no
from
way.
Me.
No way. Yeah. To rip it up.
It's a disaster.
Rip up in front of
you. Wait, heaven. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Poor old
I will concede, though, if Henrik Larsson pops up at Southend United as the manager, I'd be very happy with that.
You would be, wouldn't you?
Sign his son Jordan like Steve Bruce used to do every club.
There we are, you see. There we are. Well, Manchester United, their next signing, I mean, just tweet the club, it would appear to be the case, Jim.
Yeah, Kazuki Honda, did you see this? He, I think he's been out of the club at the moment after being released
from an A-League
club. 33, yeah. Mm. And he's been tweeting Man United, isn't he? I don't think even sliding into the DMs. I'll play for you.
come and help me.
Come on. Go on.
That's what
the initiative.
Yeah. That is demeaning. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Jim, I mean, obviously we're recording this. Obviously the show comes out on a Monday. Are you more convinced than you're ever going to be about anything that Man United will win 1-0 against Arsenal tonight?
Oh, yeah, almost certainly. Yeah,
Callum Chambers' own goal?
Yeah. Arsenal will lose 1-0 to Man United. Yeah. It won't be that Man United win. Maybe it'll be Mason Greenwood because I think he'll start and he's 17. I would love to be wrong. I want to be wrong, but it just, we haven't beaten them in, I think 2006 was the last time we beat them at Old Trafford. In the league.
And we've said before that United at the moment are a decent, if unspectacular, home side. And that's the kind of side that Arsenal lose against.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. We'll see. It depends on the midfield he picks, I would think.
The game is on television tonight, though.
Yeah, and Jules and Andy will cover it tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can hear about what they think about it then. I've got one here. I was just pleased, just a quick mensch for Mario Balotelli.
Yep.
For his first Serie A goal for 4 years at the weekend for Brescia. More on that, I'm sure, on Thursday's episode of OTC. James Horncastle rarely passes up the opportunity to talk about Ballo.
When you say for 4 years, I mean, he's not been playing in the league for four.
It's a homecoming for him. It's for his hometown club as well. Right, it's worth a mention.
I'm not saying that, but when you say he hasn't scored for 4 years.
Balotelli scored his first Serie A goal for 4 years. He did.
Ah, he hasn't been playing in Serie A.
He hasn't had the opportunity to.
No.
No, fair enough. Right, that's still a fact, isn't it?
It is a fact.
Mike Dean. What about Mike Dean? He was caddying on the ladies' PGA Tour.
Was he?
Yeah, and it's funny.
He likes a bit of that, doesn't he?
It gets better than this. It was kind of a bizarre situation.
Was he taking a few of the shots?
So no.
I'll have this one.
But I forget what the name of the event was, but I think it was a ladies' PGA Tour or a ladies' European Tour event. And you see the golfer swing off the tee, take a tee shot on a par three. It's up there. Hits the green, rolls in, hole-in-one. You think, oh, brilliant, that's amazing. She's not really sure what's happened because she can't see the green.
VAR.
And then someone tells her, someone tells her, and she's like, oh, brilliant. From out of shot, Mike Dean comes in and just starts hugging her. God. And you think, is that Mike Dean? That's Mike Dean. And he was caddying for a golfer who got a hole in one.
He's done that before, hasn't he? He's done quite a lot of that.
The golden touch.
Dino.
He probably gave her the right club selection.
Yeah. Is he in charge of the balls as well? Because it could be his fault as well. So. Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Because you can get remote control balls now, can't you? The little one that kind of...
I'm not surprised that you know that.
Seems like cheating, doesn't it?
I'm fairly certain your balls will be inspected, rather. Unexpected. Did you see the Ligue 1 match between Lyon and Nantes got moved to earlier in the day? At 1:30 so that it could be broadcast in China.
Oh dear.
And
So
the Lyon Ultras took the opportunity to deploy a free Tibet.
Nice. Very good.
The thing is, it wasn't like it was just one portion of the crowd, like a little one.
Yeah.
It was the entire stand.
That's class.
So you couldn't really not broadcast it, you know what I mean?
Did they have it in Mandarin?
Yeah. No, it was all in.
Oh, that'd have been
It was just a flag, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I see.
I mean, I like that. I love Lyon fans. The club saying to them, by the way, we're moving the game to 1:30 because people want to watch it in China. Do you mind? And the head of the supporters group going, oh no. Yeah. That's absolutely fine.
You've taken that oddly well.
Yeah. We're not going to do the obvious, you know, Hong Kong solidarity, the imprisonment of the Muslims. Yep. We're going to talk about quite a retro kind of cause, the free Tibet cause. Yeah.
Beastie Boys cause.
Mm. After the game, China want to watch another one of our games.
Gonna fuck up our afternoons. Yeah.
Do you know how many people in China watch that?
More of that.
Got any viewing figures?
More of that. Got a lot of time for that.
Bloody love that. Mm. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the end of the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Jules and Andy are back tomorrow. Do not miss out on that. RambleLive.com for your tickets as well. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Cheers.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, listeners.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.